So, Hare Krishna, good morning to everybody. Very fortunate to be again here at the side of Giriraj and ready to hear more about the internal journey of Akrura to Vrindavan. Kindly fold your hands and chant after me. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine. Vajami Radham Aravinda Netram. Smarami Radham Madhura Smithasyam. Vadami Radham Karuna Baratram. Tato mamanyasti gati na kvapi. Yasti na gati na kvapi. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prashtaya bhutale. Shimate bhakti vedanta swami nitti namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhascha Krishnandu Bhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Akrura stayed for long, long time in totally unacceptable circumstances. The only ray of light in his life was his strong hope that one day he would go on his journey to Vrindavan and see the Lord of his life. And that day came when his master decided to kill Krishna, but not where he thought Krishna had the home advantage of his own land, but at the place where he felt Krishna would be powerless, in Mathura, Kamsa, had this illusion that Krishna is just somehow so strong in Vrindavan because his own people are there. Mathura, Nobody knows him. I have taken care of this. I have taken care that all yagyas, all religions, is extinguished. Comes a thought. No one even dares to think in their dreams of Krishna here. So Krishna will be powerless in Mathura, and it will be easy for us, for our plans to kill him. Hare Krishna, here are our Vaishnav Thakurs coming. We have reserved an exalted seat for you. We are very happy that you have arrived. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, welcome Danuda Maharaj, welcome Madhavananda Prabhu. And everyone else. So, so in some ways, Akrura situation represents our own situation. We are also under unfavorable circumstances. We serve the senses, which are led by the restless mind. Kamsa is sometimes said to be the representative of anger. We serve our anger also. We also have given our life over to wrong masters. We have left Krishna, actually, and we came to this material world, and there we have been. This was Krishna's throwing shakti. It has, the moment you turn away from Krishna, Krishna's maya shakti comes, and she has two forces. One is to throw you into the material energy, and the second is to totally cover you up. That's called the avaranatmika shakti. And as a result, we are now not engaging with Krishna, but we are engaging with the material energy through our material senses and our false ego. But my dear devotees, we always had a relationship, we always have a relationship, and we will always have a relationship for Krishna. Vaishnava philosophers are in disagreement how our relationship was before we came to the material world, but everyone agrees we are particles of God. How we relate as that spark to the whole, that is another discussion which we will leave to the philosophers who like to have hot-headed arguments on these things. But we always had a relationship with Krishna. We are sparks of him. We are his parts eternally. He says like this in the Gita. We always are his in relationship with him. We are always his parts. And we always will be in relationship with Krishna. The problem is that we are totally covered and we are thinking we are now in relationship with the people of this world and our body. Now, I was thinking about this the last year when I had a very bad tooth and some other illness which is too embarrassing to speak about it in public. I was suffering for half a year. I could not sleep for 3 weeks. It was just so painful. And in my mind, I thought, Sachidananda Swami, you are an eternal part of Krishna. You are full of bliss and knowledge. Why are you suffering? What is this suffering? Where is it coming from? And it became clear to me, I'm so much connected at the present moment, not with Krishna, but with his illusory energy, illusory identity there, the false ego is just so strong that I suffer from this toothache, especially when I went to a Russian dentist. They are very, very, I asked them two times, do you know how to give a good anesthesia? And they said, yes, yes. And I could feel everything. I felt every turn of the drilling instrument in my tooth. And what was this experience of pain? It was the experience of a conditioned soul who has left his eternal kingdom and who is now identified with the body. And due to the false ego, this pain, this tremendous pain comes of the experience of the material world. So the only way to cure this is to come to the real ego, the real identity, our, how Prabhupada calls it, constitutional position, which has an eternal relationship with Radha and Krishna. This is the whole point of Krishna consciousness, that you come to your real identity, your constitution. Constitution means something for what an entity was made. That is the constitution of it. And you have to come to that. And then, this is not all. You have to engage now, not with the material energy any longer. You have to engage with Radha and Krishna. Sambandha. Now, my dear devotees, if you have 80% or 90% engagement with the false ego and the material world, and 10% engagement with Krishna, you will not feel a real sense of a relationship. When you have 70% activities with your body and your mind and your ego, and 30% you think of Krishna, you won't feel anything. You have to come to a point where the scale tips. You know what is a scale? It's, this is a scale. So if 80% is here and 20% is here, all the activity really goes on this side. Only when the scale tips, this is what it means, it tips. That means 80% is here and 20% here. The things go on this side. A little chanting, a little hearing about Krishna, a little thinking of Krishna, like the Hare Krishna movement does, just a little, sometimes, and mostly theoretically, that will not help you to really enter a sense of sambandha. You must, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, you must hear about Krishna katha, you must hear about Krishna until you faint. And then when you wake up, you must hear more. Or in terms of the holy name, you must chant not just your 16 rounds or your 64 rounds or your 120 rounds. It's not a matter of numbers. You must come to the point when the name goes on akanda. Akanda means without cut. You want to be in a relationship always with Krishna. Then your heart will be purified from this ego and all the material desires which are there, and your engagement with the material world. And you will think of Krishna always. You will remember him always. You will want to serve him always. And then you enter into a relationship. Then it becomes real. Otherwise, it is just a mental conception. It will not help you very much. Whatever you think with an impure heart is a mental conception, and when your heart gets pure and you think something with a purified heart, it's a realization. It's a total different thing. One is a creation, a manufacture of the mind, and another is a revelation by the divine spiritual energy. So Akruraji is here giving us some meditations about Krishna. And yesterday we talked at length about it. He has ended. We will continue now. Akura has first meditated about the beautiful the light coming from Krishna's toenails, which will dispel the insurmountable darkness of material existence. If you want that the darkness goes out of your heart, and if you want that the light of Krishna consciousness comes in, start to meditate about the Nakamandala Tvisha. These are the words Akura uses. That is the rays which come from the 10 moons of Krishna's what? Toenails. You know everything. Have you done this? No, we are Hare Krishnas. We never do these things which are in the scripture. Maharaji, this is for our entertainment, what you tell us. It's not for active, practical life. You know, we are suffering from an spiritual indigestion. We hear something, but we never digest this into our life. Maharaji, tell us some more, and we will also not digest it and do it. Who are you? What type of devotees are you? This is compulsory. It's a duty of every living entity. Ramananda Roy meets Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asks, what is the dutiful meditation of every living entity? And Mahaprabhu says, it's wrong. Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda, what is the duty? I give you the right quote. I forget. I have it somewhere here. I think we must get this right, because if I speculate something here, how will you be able to have Shraddha in what you hear? That we must have that right. Yeah, that's Ramananda Roy's answer. I have it in an ocean of notes, but Mahaprabhu asked, what is the best type of meditation for all living entities? And then Ramananda Roy said, the prime duty of every living entity is to meditate about the lotus feet of the Lord. So Akrura starts his meditation here. And because some of you were not here yesterday, and most of you have forgotten what you heard yesterday, I would like to repeat this. He said, the lotus feet, there is a reason why we meditate about the lotus feet. Because, you know, Krishna is in the Turiya dimension, the fourth dimension. He steps down with his lotus feet into our three dimensions. And his lotus feet have the functionality, if you want to say, in meditation. As you concentrate your mind on it, you will see the light from the toenails. And this light of the feet of the Lord will take care that the darkness in your own heart goes. You please try this, and you will see wonderful results in your spiritual life. please, you're here on a retreat. Do something which you never done before. Meditate about the 10 moon-like nails of from Krishna's lotus feet, the Nakamandala, as Akura says, and you will see some first-class result. Our darkness needs to go. This is the inner darkness, the darkness of ignorance. So after Akrura has done this, he meditates about Krishna's face. I would like to give you a little meditation from Radharani's point of view. How Krishna comes to a living entity who has fully the sambandha. From the perspective of Srimati Radharani, Krishna reveals himself in full because she has the highest devotion. Those who start, who don't have so much devotion, stay with the lotus feet in the beginning and experience that the darkness will go. But Srimati Radharani, when she sees Krishna, you will hear now how she sees. Krishna is darkish like a new dark monsoon cloud. What this means is that his body is not hard, but very soft and smooth. Another example has been given of mascara. You know, it is very smooth. Almost when you touch it, you no? It doesn't give a resistance, a hard resistance. We hear when Krishna goes through the forest of Vrindavan, at that time, some leaf falls on Krishna's body. And although his body is hard like a thunderbolt, you know, nothing can pervade it. For the demons, in Vrindavan, it is soft. So that for a long time, the impression of that leaf will be on his skin. It has left an indentation, I think it's called. Even the blue lotus, very soft when you touch it, is ashamed of the softness, of its own softness when it compares it with Krishna's body. It is said that Krishna's dhoti is yellow, but the Vaishnava poets have given the analogy of a flesh to mark that Krishna's dhoti is always moving, like a flesh is moving. It is full of light, it is full of glitter, it is full of, let us say, how to say it in proper English, the word is an effulgence. What it means, an effulgence is something which comes towards you. It is by its nature forthcoming. So Krishna is forthcoming as you meditate on his he doesn't stand still for a moment, but moves around. Another explanation is there of how Radharani sees it. On the top of Krishna's of this Krishna cloud, there is a rainbow. The rainbow is the peacock feather, and under this, this is very amazing. Have you seen rainbows? They are usually under the clouds, but this is above. And under the Krishna cloud is another rainbow, which is his Vaidyajanti garland. The sound of Krishna's flute is described to be like thunder. What it does is, when the peacocks hear it, they start to dance because they like thunder and rain, and that's they become jubilant. But when we say that Krishna's flute is like thunder, we also mean something else. When the thunder comes, you can't get it out of your ear. No? You can't say, oh, can we have another sound here, please? Or when the thunderous loudspeakers of Vrindavan start, Krishna, Krishna, you are in the most peaceful setting and you are chanting your japa and you think, wow, I'm in the spirit of it. Next to you explodes a loudspeaker with some Hindi song, Sanyasi, come home, you know, and you go like, no, not here, but you can't get it out of your ear. Krishna's flute song has this mesmerizing effect. The gopis say it's like a bird which comes into the nest of our ears and does not go. Now, in this image of Radharani seeing Krishna's form like the monsoon cloud, a moon comes out from this cloud, and that is Lord Krishna's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful moon-like, what? Face. Yes, yes, yes. Smile comes a little later. So this face of Lord Krishna came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he was sitting at the Ganga and talked about high philosophical points to Sanatana Goswami. All of a sudden, he changed the subject matter, because in his inner mind, his antakarana, he saw the moon-like face of Krishna. He says, he expresses his heart to Sanatana Goswami. He says, I saw this dark cloud. Believe me, I was thirsting for it for a long, long time. Like the Chataka bird thirsts for a cloud which quenches its thirst. But then a big wind came and swept it away. Now my eyes are like that Chataka bird, which is suffering extremely. The cloud was there, but it was blown away. Krishna's sweetness is an ocean of nectar, and my mind now has become like a cholera patient who is extremely thirsty. But the doctor, Krishna, forbids it to drink. When one, you know, this is an analogy, this poetic language, which is the only language to bring about the feelings of what we are speaking here, connection with Krishna, is a deep connection, not theoretical concept. I once saw a thirsty man. It was in Bengal. It was on my first visit. It was someone who had, I think, a Western devotee. He had contracted cholera, and he was lying. It was in the night, and I sometimes wonder in the night when the moon is up as high, and I'm fully awake and I chant, but I can't sleep. So I came to this pukur, and there was this devotee who was trying to drink the pukur. He was just I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I was a brahmachari at that time, Sachinandan. He said, you don't know what cholera does to you. You become so thirsty. I'm so thirsty. I will have to drink this pukur now. I'm so thirsty. How will this pukur go in your bladder? You please explain. No, it will go. It will go. I'm so thirsty. Then I set up, I don't know if this is right, and the water is also Bengali water, you know, you don't know, the whole village might have done their morning ablutions here on the side, and it's a, so he said, get a doctor, and I ran and get a doctor, and the doctor, of course, said, you can't drink this, you don't drink this, but then what will I drink? The cholera means you can't drink anything. But he was so thirsty. Imagine this man was ready to drink a whole pukur. Now the doctor said, you can't drink. So this is what Lord Chaitanya's analogy is. I saw you, my Lord, but then you disappeared, and now I'm unlimitedly thirsty for you. And I'm forbidden to drink the sweetness of your form. I'm forbidden. And who has forbidden? You have forbidden. This is a meditation of Srimati Radharani. Radharani is all day and all night thirsty, all day, let's stay with the day, thirsty for Krishna. She is lying in her bed. There are some, how do you say, the sakis put lotus flowers there and pour water on it to make it cool. But her viraha agni, her sense of separation is just so big, my dear devotees, that, listen please to this attentively, that her body dries up. The bed of lotus flowers. It's dry, it's crispy, it is itching in the skin, and so on. So finally she hears the buffalo horn and the flute sound in the distance. Krishna comes home with the sakas. And she then goes to the watchtower, and from the watchtower she will observe Krishna. But then Krishna himself, who has now come to her, thirsty eyes, and Krishna, who is ready to take away her suffering by his darshan, is now going somewhere else in the palace and forbids her to see her any longer. Can you imagine what happens to her? She becomes so much ablaze in the fire of Vipralamba that she is inconsolable. This is, of course, a highest example of the highest devotion and the highest amount of relishment of a relationship with Krishna. It's not theoretical. The thirst is not imagined. It's not something a sentimental person manufactures in his mind. It is so real, like my Western devotee's thirst when he wanted to drink the whole pukur in Bengal. It is something which is not a kalpana. This is very important. Now, we will, of course, ask ourselves the question, how will this ever come to me? How will I start to engage with Krishna in such a way that my engagement with him becomes a sambandha, that it occupies my mind and my heart, that it is a relationship, how I will enter it? There are different sadhanas which are given by different sampradayas. But what do we do in the Hare Krishna movement? Yesterday, after our meditational session, I got a letter. The question was, how do we meditate about Krishna's lotus feet? When we do Hare Krishna Mahamantra chanting? Or do we do it when we chant the Gayatri? Please explain. And I said yesterday, I would try to give an explanation of our process. I feel it is important that you understand this, because if you don't, you will always carry your heart in a coffin on your shoulder. Should I repeat a little poetry for you? If you come to God with your heart in a coffin, means you're not alive, He will say, Yushita, is this a graveyard? This is a relationship. But if you carry your heart in a coffin, if it's, in other words, it's dead, what do you, you put only dead things in a coffin. Unless you are strange. if you carry your dead heart with you, which has only relationships to the dead things of this world, and no real relationship for Krishna, He would say, you cheater? Is this a graveyard or what? Where are we here? So listen now very carefully. And I hope you will challenge me severely on what I say. I will express it in very generic terms. In other words, I will do like my approach to my to Prabhupada's teaching is, I really want to understand what is he saying, and will then bring that out so that we can engage with it in our sadhana. So here, my dear devotees, you must think, you must know, you always had a relationship, you always have a relationship, and you always will have a relationship with Radha and Krishna. And it is more real than anything which you feel at this present moment, which is only a manufacture of the false ego. Now, the pure mind, the totally pure mind, will always think of Krishna. It is natural. The impure mind will think of Maya and the things which are manufactured by Maya. The process which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us is twofold. I will first explain the one side, and then I will explain the second side. First side, by chanting the mind, by chanting the holy name, the mind becomes purified. As a result of this purification, its natural feelings will arise. Mahaprabhu said, by chanting the names alone, prema means love of Godhead, as you know, will arise. And in that prema, you naturally understand your identity, your swarup. I would like to give you an example. I will give now an example, a very simple example, which will give you a horror shower so that you wake up. Imagine a boy who sees a girl. God forbid. Yes, I want to drive you a little crazy here. And he thinks, oh, maybe some sympathetic glance will come from her in my direction if I dance nicely and sing a good kirtan. You know, so there is something. He sees someone who is sympathetic. Now something happens, maybe an exchange of sandeshes, or they will go on a parigram around Govardhan, and so on. And they do some activity, they engage in something, and all of a sudden, some feelings come. And from that feeling, whatever the feeling is, they will define their identities in the relationship. the boy will maybe think, oh, she's so foolish, I will run away from her. Or that's one response. Or he thinks she is so highly qualified, and I think we have something to do. Let us talk about it. And they talk, hey, do we have something to do, yes or no, with each other. And then finally they are like 50% in the tent. The boy feels I'm the husband, and the wife feels an identity, I'm his wife. Like it or not, I did not, never imagine this would happen to me, but now I feel this identification very closely. So the idea is, when some love arises in your heart, you begin to see your identification clearer, and therefore your Swarup comes from this chanting. However, now comes the second part. You must, as you chant, be one in your mind. That, and here I don't mean a Mayavadi concept, I mean a Vaishnav concept of Ekatva. Your sound, Hare Krishna, and your mind, that is your meditation on Krishna, must be one. You can't do like most of us do, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, oh, what will they serve for lunch prasadam, and so on and so forth. That is not the way to do it. You must remember Krishna while you chant. It's very, very important. You must, Harinam Chintamani says, you must think of the person whose name you chant. Now, Jiva Goswami talks in the Anuchet, and what is it here for you who like to look up everything? Anuchetya 275 in the Bhakti Sandarbha. He talks about the qualifications, how does the qualification come to think of Krishna? This happens when you practice surrender, when you, in your life, when you don't always follow your own plan, but you surrender more and more, Sharanagati. It happens when you do Guru Seva, when you serve your spiritual master. And it happens, you can remember Krishna, when you hear about the Lord. These three things you must do in order to remember Krishna. And if you don't remember Krishna while you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, you will only remember cars and women and wealth and prestige and position and all these childish mind games. You must, in order to think of Krishna, you must learn to surrender in your life, Sharanagati. You must learn to do Guru Seva. I'm here. What is? How can I help? Do you have a project? Where am I useful in your projects? You say to me. And you must hear about the Lord. This is what we are doing at this present Govardhan retreat. We hear so much from the early morning, 7:45. We start our hearing therapy, and it goes on. Then you can do these proper chanting. So smaranam, this is thinking of Krishna, is in some traditions, Vaishnava tradition, the main point. No? Meditation and some meditational templates are offered, which you will find in all traditions of the world. It always has to do with taking a new identity, and in that identity, which is more pure than the present impure identity, you engage in some way with the Lord. This is what the Jesuits do, that's what the Sufis do, that's what the Babas do. It's an archetypical religious expression of the need to enter a relationship. In our tradition, Smaranam is not the main point. It's very different. Very different. In our tradition, Kirtanam is the main point. Because the argument is, an impure mind remembers or meditates, even with all the techniques in the world and all the philosophy in the world, impurely. But a purified mind, which is purified by the ingression, that's a difficult word. You, if you don't speak English, you, as your mother talk, you have to look it up. You can. It means when something breaks into your reality, which is of a categorically different nature. So by the ingression or the, let me say, Iskon slang, by the puff, wow, overwhelming influence of the holy name, then you are purified, my dear devotees, and you, the heart, which is naturally, comes alive in relationship to the Lord. I invite you to read about the relative importance of Smaranam and Kirtanam in the, write this down if you please, in the Brihad Bhagavad Tamrita, second part, third chapter, text 123 to 185. Should I repeat it? Brihad Bhagavatamrita, second part, third chapter, text 123 to 185. Clear? Good. So our process is that Smaranam should always be accompanied by Hari Nam Kirtanam. Hare Nama Nu Kirtanam. This is in the Bhagavatam 2.1.11. There it is expressed that the Kirtanam of Krishna's names is the highest sadhana, higher than all other types of Kirtanam, of Krishna's qualities, of his pastimes, for instance, and so on. So the name is glorified over all other forms because it is Krishna from the beginning. You have a spiritual entity, express it in philosophical terms, which is not of the Maya category. It comes and it does something on your heart. It purifies it. So then, my dear devotee, but you have to, don't forget, just because we put Kirtan first, it doesn't mean we have no idea of Smaranam and we dispose it, we throw it away. We Hare Krishnas don't meditate. No. We don't think about Krishna. No. When we hear a philosophy, no, we don't act upon this. Understand, we are just Kirtan people. That is not right. That is wrong. So good. Kirtanam first, or Smaranam next. So, as you engage with the idea to put your mind to the practice, to put your heart out of the coffin and into the real life, no? What you do is, you chant, you first remember the name. When you do kirtan, you bring your name to the to your mind, to the name. The name, wherever the mind goes, it's you do smaranam now. You bind it to the name. Ah, oh, the mind is again gone. Oh, you get it. And you bring it back. Yes, this morning I talked to a kirtan leader, and I asked him, what do you do when you do such nice kirtan? I do no nice kirtan. I'm doing bad kirtan. Yesterday, the key of my harmonium got stuck, and I was supposed to sing, and I was only thinking key, 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 key. Then I started to think, this is not kirtanam, where only my mouth thinks, and my mind doesn't think of the holy name. I will now, I must change this. I'm thinking now of Giriraj. And the moment I thought of Giriraj, the key got freed, and I could play like an angel. Not like an angel, he didn't say, but I could play normally. Giriraj, I think, told me that don't just sing. Think of me, of me. So my dear devotees, but this is where you start. You bind your names in japa or kirtan to the name. You must bring your mind there. It is a work, I know. It is hard work, I know. It's super hard work. I know better than you, because those who know me more than all of you know that I have the most unsteady mind you can imagine. I'm very creative. Ooh. So, but you just bring it back, the mind, bring it back, bring it back, bring it back to the name. And that is only possible, this practice. This is a science, you must learn it. If you strive to be free of 10 obstacles. Do you know these 10 obstacles? Nama parats. Very good. Some knowledge is available. The 10 offenses. You must work. If you want to have skill in bhajan, means expertise, this is what Haridas Thakur says, you must avoid the 10 offenses. You must do it. Don't think you are an old devotee or you are young and you don't have to think about this any longer. Don't think you know everything. Enter the beginner's mind. Look at the 10 offenses. Look where you commit them and avoid them. Then the light will become brighter in your heart. Then your mind, Harinam Chintaman, Haridas Thakur says, must become clear, means no dirt, and you must become steady, and then you become blissful. This is what happens by the simple practice of binding the mind to the first thing you must remember, you must meditate about. The Lord's name, Nam, bind it, bind it, bind it. Get robe, buy all the robe of all the shops in the world if you need to do that. If you, but obviously, a gross robe won't do. The subtle robe is chant free from offenses. Then the mind is with the name. Automatically, and you become clear in it, steady and blissful. Yesterday I went to Surabhikund and I saw a typical ISKCON scene. Someone was just spacing out at the kund, thinking high things maybe, and not, and I was so disappointed that this happens even in the holy dham, and so on. Next, first comes Nam, then comes the Rupa. You must next add to your practice of chanting, where you have tried to fix yourself on the name, you must now fix your mind or do Smaranam on the Rupa. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Smaratapada Kamalam Atmanam Apiyachyati. He gives his own self, that means his Atma, his Rupa, to anyone who simply remembers, this means meditation, Smaranam, Smarati, Smarata, his lotus feet. So as you chant, with this I will answer the first question which was put to me in writing yesterday. As you chant, after you have bound your name, your mind to the name, you now bind it to the form. You start with the lotus feet. Or what you do, what you can do is you can have a first-class photograph of Radha and Krishna, or a painting, and so on. And you bring your mind to the form, and you engage it with the form. Remember, the whole idea is to create what? A sambandha, a relationship. So, in the 10th canto, 80th chapter, text 11, it says, he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet. That's why Akrura, as the paradigmatical bhakta here, who comes from an unfavorable background, starts with the lotus feet of the Lord, with a beautiful, please do this, you will be so much impressed. Think of the moonlight of 10 moons that is the toenails of Krishna's lotus feet in your mind. You will be different. You will glow. Next, after the name and the form, come the qualities of Krishna. How he is Bhakta Vatsala, how he is Karuna Sindhu. Engage in some gratitude. Oh, my Lord, you brought me here. Yesterday, some devotees went and chanted at Surabhi Kund, and we understood there that here Indra was forgiven his offenses, and we prayed that we also will be forgiven of our nama aparadas and other aparadas. We prayed like this, and a deep sense of gratitude came to some of our hearts, some individuals, that we are here. We can engage in this process at this place. Prabhu, you must think about how Krishna is so forgiving. How he is so merciful, how he is so lovely, how when he comes home, Mother Yashoda thinks, oh Krishna, you are so dusty, you are so dirty. Now sit at your lap, and Krishna feels so much love towards Yashoda. His heart is so loving. He sits on the lap of Yashoda and closes his eyes. And Mother Yashoda knows what this simple gesture of childlike faith means. She comes and blows the dust from the eyelids of Krishna. Krishna twinkles a little with the eyes not good enough, and she recognized there's some crust, dust crust, and she spits on her sari and then rubs it out, and then Krishna opens his eyes and is very grateful. Oh, Mother, you have cleaned my eyes. This loving relationship. You must think about this so that you get your heart out of the coffin. You have to save your spiritual heart from dying, and so on. So, as the meditation, that means the Naam, becomes harmonized with Krishna's name, as your chanting of Kirtan or Japa becomes harmonized, mingled, mixed, like, two substances, then you can engage in what is called Lila Smaranam. You think about Krishna's pastimes. And at that time, something happens which Prabhupada has alluded to in the fourth, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. I think it's fourth chapter, but I know it. I've read it many times, but I'm not a man of numbers. But what he says, if one becomes attracted to a specific pastime, you hear Krishna's pastime, and you start to become, you become attracted, and that attraction stays with you. It gives you a hint. Hint means you have to still check it. Of your devotional inclination, which that is that where you should follow. I would like to give you an example. I noticed there was a lecture on the Damodar Leela, and next to me, one devotee was sitting, whom I know very, 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 very much. And he's an elder, a very old devotee, 22 years in spiritual life, and he fell asleep. So I went because we were friends. Damodar Leela. And the devotee said, "A Damodar Leela." I like when Krishna kills a demon. Then I thought, well, is this a pure inclination of the mind? Or is it because he heard hardcore music in his life and, you know, it is a little manly, you know, and so on. So I would say, because I know the devotee very well, and I know a little of his spiritual level, although many things are still, of course, who can know anyone for sure, but I happen to have a relationship where I am allowed to diagnose someone, you know, and I think it was not yet the pure inclination. But if again and again we hear the Kaliya Daman Leela and we hear how the Brijbasis turn mad as they see their darling Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, and we hear this and it really touches us, and we feel also, oh, this is too much to just imagine Krishna. And if this goes on, it might give us a hint of our devotional inclination. Maybe we are like those specific residents and we study more and more the relation and the reaction. And we feel, well, maybe I feel I should hear now a little bit more about Yashoda and her relationship to Krishna. I felt something at that time. Let me follow this path and let me enter and so on. Or you hear more and more how the gopis relate to Krishna. And this is very appealing to me. I don't know why, but already since so many years this doesn't go. And I feel very, let me follow this. Let me hear more about this relationship. And so on. But the main thing, all the while, brothers, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhajan Rahasya, from the beginning to the end, never ever contemplate a sadhana which is more powerful than the kirtan. Because we could imagine so many things. And those of us who are studying religious psychology, not just psychology. The real interesting stuff is religious psychology, because you will see everything relates to what you hear there is what you observe in any religious movement wherever you go. Those who are interested in this subject, they will understand, I'm too old to imagine something or get into a religious psychology trip now. Therefore, the kirtan will continue. So as I was going on a tangent, I will go back to the main road now. As you engage in kirtan, you will want to know, what does Krishna do at this time of the day? And there is the Ashtakaliya Leela, which is available for our study if we are interested. And as we purify our mind through the kirtan, and we hear about the activities of Krishna, at that time, by the power of, it's called Vishuddha Sattva, the pure spiritual energy, which is also available in the holy name. Huh? It is the name is the source of all spiritual energies. That that Krishna realization will blossom in your heart. And at that time, very, very, very slowly, rasa comes. Rasa means your feeling for Krishna is just becoming not manufactured. Remember, you have a relationship to Krishna. You always had it. You have it now, and you will have it in the future. That rasa will make its appearance, and you will become, as you contemplate more and more, you become aware of your spiritual identity along with the spiritual characteristics which you have, like your name and your seva. So I've ended now at a very high end. I know for most of you this is bothersome philosophy. But don't discard it like this. What is embedded in this talk is your absolute necessity. If you don't develop a relationship with Krishna, there will be not a long time Hare Krishna, Hare Rama on your lips. It just won't work. You will feel spiritually undernourished and unenthusiastic and uninspired, and will go for material relationships which will at all fulfill the yearning of your heart. I liked so much when one devotee said, there is a God-shaped or Krishna-shaped or Radha-shaped vacuum in our heart. And only, do you know vacuum? Vacuum is you cut something in. And then only if that thing which you have cut out is closing the vacuum, is it closed? You can't close it in any other way. So this relationship with Krishna is the only thing which will stop the hole in your heart and which will cure you from bleeding to death, even though you are in the spiritual process. It's very important, very important. Hare Krishna. I try to say a very complicated thing in the most simple of languages. I try to give my best to do it really in a language which is appealing for the newcomer and for the old graying man and woman in the spiritual life. You please hear this. You please think about the gaps which I still have left open, because, and you fill the gaps by your own study, and please have faith. This is the process which Mahaprabhu came to give. This is what the Goswamis say, and this is what has worked. It works. It works now. I know a few. They like to keep secret, and it will work in the future. Because, see, what I would like to get at here is that these meditations must be done in an active relationship with Krishna. When Krishna did his leela in this world, Narada Muni would come every day to Brahma to give him a report about Krishna's daily pastimes. He came and gave the news of Krishna. Now one day, Narada Muni came from Vrindavan and he gave a complaint to Brahma. He said, "The ladies of Braj say you have no intelligence, Brahma. That's why you made a big mistake." Well, Brahma is very cultured. He's not like some man of the street who immediately gets into a false ego, he said, oh, why is this so? I didn't know of my mistake. What is it? Narada said, they say you gave Indra 1,000 eyes, but what does he do with them? He looks at the heavenly dancing girls. One should not see things which incite lust. Brahma said, I see. I received another complaint from them that I made eyes that blink, so that even for a nimesha, that makes it blink, this is a nimesha. Very short. They don't see Krishna. But I must tell you one thing. They are so exalted, these inhabitants of Vrindavan. Whatever I do, I will do a mistake, because I'm just a fool. I'm just a Brahma. They are the associates of Krishna. What can I do? It's now too late. I can't reverse the creation. But even if I did, they would criticize me for another thing. Because they are mad for Krishna. And this is the goal of all of our lives. They are very exalted. So this is the sambandha of the highest degree. But we must start our journey in sambandha where we are. So we have given Akrura started his sambandha journey here, his Manurata. He chanted the names Uttama Shloka and Achyuta. He chanted. And then he began to meditate about Krishna, starting from his lotus feet. Good. I would now like to do something with you. Enough with the theory. Let's start the practice. Are you ready for some practice? Good. We will again do the meditation of Akrura. I will read from the Bhagavatam, and we will mix now our kirtan first, name first, and we will mix it now with the lotus feet and Krishna's rupa. We will hear a description from Akrura about his meditation. We will just follow his example. Maha jana yena gata sapanta. We will follow this example. Look a little bit around. You need a little stretching, I think. Look a little around. Sigiri Raj. We are sitting here in a little seminar which attempts to enliven our spiritual heart with both knowledge and practice. We have heard that we, from Akura's journey, who will meet Krishna eventually, that he added something which we in our movement are not always so aware of, that is remembering Krishna. So it is very important to do this. And as you practice surrender and Guru Seva, and then hear about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, you will become more and more qualified. And some of you, I feel, are very qualified already. You're very, very first class. So we will now see the golden chariot of Akura. It's a little loud, clatter, declatter, declatter, but still there are deers coming out of the forest. They are on Akura's right side, and he knows. This is a sign for me. I will meet Krishna. So we go on a little meditational journey also now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See the lotus feet of the Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world simply by the effulgence of his toenails. Many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Please chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. See the night, and inside the night sky, see a moon, full moon. That moon expands into 10 moons, and these 10 moons are like the 10 toenails on the lotus feet of Krishna and sing by meditating about this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Louder, please. See the face of Lord Mukunda. That face is framed by his curly hair. It is beautified by his attractive cheeks and nose, and his smiling glances and his reddish lotus eyes. In your mind, I see that face of the Lord with the curly hair, his cheeks. But more than anything, think about the merciful smile with the eyes and the lips. Please sing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you. Then Akura starts to think about the qualities and the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And it's very interesting about what qualities and what pastimes he who has just come from this impossible situation of a mantri, you know, a prime advisor to Kamsa, how he starts it. Earlier he has meditated about, you know, when he was thinking about Krishna's lotus feet, he also privately just quickly thought of how the gopis are related to the lotus feet of Krishna, because they think all day while he's out in the forest that the Lord might harm his soft lotus feet and the thorns, and they want to give the feet relief by taking the feet on their chests. But that he did as a very private little. He's in Dasyaras, so he just went a little into this. But here he now meditates about the qualities and pastimes which I think are very relevant for us. He thinks that out of his mercy, Krishna has adopted a human-like form and has come to the earth to relieve her of her burden. He already sees, counts as a burden. Krishna has come and he will most probably come with me to Mathura and he will just shoot the demon to the moon. That's what we say in Germany, but he will kill him. And he says, in his mercy, the Lord has come. And then he says something. He has come because by his internal potency he dispels the darkness of separation and confusion. He has come here with his internal potency, his holy name, his pastimes, and if conditioned souls meditate about this, then the darkness and confusion which is there with them is will go away. I'm trying to find something. He says all sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created by the Supreme Lord's qualities, his activities and appearances. and words that describe these three things: Lord's qualities, pastimes, and his appearance. These words animate, beautify, and purify the world. On the other hand, words which are bereft of his glories are like the decoration on a corpse. And then he meditates about Krishna in Vrindavan. You cannot meditate really about Krishna without his Dham. Jiva Goswami says in the Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchedya 286, that whereas the yogis meditate about Krishna just being alone, the devotees must always meditate about Krishna in his holy Dham. Because in his holy Dham, there are all these devotees, and that everything is in a relationship with him. The yogis don't have a pronounced relationship. When you are yogi, according to the 11th canto, do you know how to meditate about Krishna? You first bring the sun in your mind. Then you bring the moon in your mind. Then you bring the fire in your mind. Burn, burn, burn everything material away. And then you think about the four-armed Narayan form. This is not what we do as devotees. This is something for the yogis. I must say I'm supremely attracted to these things, and I do these fire meditations sometimes when nothing works and I'm totally a Maya, but this is not what we usually are supposed to do. It's just a... But, you know, what you do is... you just think about Krishna in the holy Dham. And there are meditations. There's the desire tree, the Kalpa Vriksha tree, and the throne of jewels is there, and the little pavilion about the throne, and there Krishna sits. These are described in our Mangal Archana prayers. But Akrura now thinks also about this. He says, the same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satvatas to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion. Residing in Vrindavan Dham, he spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song, and which bring auspiciousness to all. So these are some of the meditations about the qualities. The Lord is so merciful. You can make a test in your spiritual life on where you stand in Krishna consciousness. A very easy test. And can I tell you the test? It's from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It might be like a mirror, and you might see a face in the mirror which you did not suspect to see. That is your own face. In other words, you might find out your own standpoint where you are. See, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says about, he writes in one of his purports, that one could argue, as long as a conditioned soul is in the material body, he will feel the influence of the body. It is as if a person is in a house. When the owner of a house is in a cold house, he feels coldness all around him. If he is in a dark house, he will feel the darkness. So in the same way, one might argue, as long as I am in the house of the body, I will feel the pain and the confusion and the miseries which the body imposes upon me, just like someone in the house is influenced by the conditions of the house upon him. But here in this verse, Akura says, no, Krishna has come with his internal energy. And if we think about Krishna's names, his qualities, how he's merciful, his holy dharma, then what will happen is these internal energies which are in these things, these agents, will dispel all the darkness and confusion which you have as a conditioned soul while you reside in the body surrounded with the mind. And that litmus test should be applied by you. You should see, how much am I influenced by the body and the mind? How much does the confusion and the darkness which the body and the mind imposes upon me finish me off or influence me? How much is it there? When you feel the influence of the internal energy, it will go. And therefore I request you to be strong on your path. Don't give in to weakness. And to be strong in your path means accept the light in your own little house. Accept the warmth in your own little house. Accept the light which takes out the darkness of your life, the darkness of ignorance, and accept the warmth which will take out the cold of confusion of your life. And that for us as sadhakas, that is practicing devotees, will happen if we keep contact with the internal energy of Krishna. And we all know that the power which the Lord has placed into holy places, the power which the Lord has placed in acts like charity or tapasya, the power which the Lord has placed even in japa, that same power is abundantly and overflowingly available in Hari Nam Anukirtanam, the kirtan of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Voice, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Giri Govada, Giri Govada, Giri Govada, Giri Govada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, and thank you very much for participating in this forenoon session of our retreat. There's still a little time for one or two questions. Do you have got to hurry? And I see Philip and our devotee. I don't know your name. There are more questions, I know, but little time. So Gaurahari was first. please give him.
Thank you, Maharaj. I was wondering if we have, when we are chanting, if I understood well, we have to wait until our mind becomes binded with the name, and when the mind is properly binded with the name, then we bring the form and continue like this and keep it. Or should we add the form when, even if our mind doesn't want to concentrate, to try to bring some picture, some visualization to help us to come closer to the name? Or can you make it a little more clear on
more clear, how
do we really do it?
Mm. See, when this how in spiritual life there is a generic instructions which are given by the Goswamis and the previous acharyas in our scripture, and then for the individual practice there needs to be guidance how to do it, and for that we have the spiritual master. So that is a question which is to be asked by each one who's progressing in spiritual life to his spiritual master. I'm sitting here as a lecturer, not as this is my function here, and I will not. I can say what I do, but I cannot give instructions. So there are other ways also to do. This is something which I found out works for me personally. It is sometimes very difficult to come to a point where the mind and the name is one. It is very difficult. Yesterday I sat at Surabhikund and wanted to chant, and then this loudspeaker, there were two loudspeakers, one from Jatipur, and it was unbelievable what came out of that loudspeaker, and another was Ramkatha. Ramkatha was very loud, and I know, you know, and what I want to explain is my mind was fully with the loudspeakers, because I always thought, Goethe wrote, I would have stayed in India if the stonemasons wouldn't have been there. Stonemasons, he objected to the sexual expressions of men and women in sexual embrace. He, that was too much for Johann Wolfgang Goethe, you know, that German poet, which everyone. So I have often said in my mind, I would always stay in India if there would be no loudspeakers. So I really react very strong to the outside noise. And so here I am. I have half an hour for my rounds. I have escaped from the crowd of the retreat. And now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And all I hear is the Ramkatha and the impossible Jatipur loudspeaker. And my mind just doesn't come with the name. It just doesn't work. I try everything, what I have learned, nothing works. It's the mind is with the loudspeaker. I have images of myself taking a machine gun and killing the loudspeaker in Jatipur, and you know, it's terrible, totally un-Krishna conscious. I think when next time I come to Germany, I will go to a scientist and he will give me a little beep. No one will say a little technical beep, and it will destroy the loudspeaker forever. I'm ready to invest 100,000 euros into this invention. You know, under the dirty beep. And these are not Krishna conscious thoughts. The mind is not the science and violence. And so then what to do? As already 30 minutes are available, 10 have already gone. I'm totally in Maya consciousness and material energy and so on. And the time is also there. It goes a little, what to do, what to do, what to do, what to do. Then I thought, well, let me think about Krishna's qualities. Here, Indra came and Surabhi came and they begged for forgiveness. Indra begged for forgiveness. He was forgiven here, and in Govindakund the Abhishek was made. So why don't I have also done so many offenses? My God, and just now that the 10 minutes, I wanted to destroy these poor bridge Basis loudspeakers. You know, it will be the loss of their lives. You know, they don't have the money to do this. And as I was thinking about the qualities of Krishna, of forgiveness, of offenses, my heart jumped out of the coffin and came to the right place where it's supposed to be, and here where we think of Krishna and so on. And I could chant into the loudspeaker, was no problem. But then the monkeys came. But at least it worked a little, you know, for some time. Even a second of good realization is worth all of it. Hare Krishna. So I think we must engage already with the different other aspects of Krishna. To think of Krishna, meditation of Krishna, name first. What is this? That's a madanga. Then form. It has that cylindrical form. Form. Quality. Manu can take it in the lab and do make sounds. And then pastime. Ecstatic kirtans. You know, not just sounds, but God kirtans. You know, this is what describes anything for us in this word, name, form, activity, qualities, and then what it does, you know, pastime. So the Krishna also, when we want to remember Krishna, a full Krishna smaranam means name, starts with the name, form, qualities, pastimes. You know, this is how. And I think you should become familiar with all these aspects, and according and then do what is natural, because when you do what is natural, you will do more of it. When you do what is unnatural, you will do less of it. If I start to walk on one leg, that is a little unnatural because I have two legs. I will after some time stop hopping around. If I walk with two legs, I will walk and walk and walk because it's natural. Do what comes natural to you according to your adhikar. And if you have questions, where is my level? What is natural for me to do at this level? At that time, we need spiritual guidance. See, these scriptures teach passively. And then we need the spiritual guidance that teaches actively. Do like this. Don't do this. Do this. Krishna. So for me, naturally comes, as I said, I thought of that place. I'm here. What is this place? I think it's natural to think I'm here. What is this place? What is the place all about? And as I thought about this, and the quality of forgiveness came to the mind. When you do what is unnatural, that means that for which you are not yet qualified, you will do less and less and less of it. If you do what is natural, that is what is your qualification, you will do more and more and more. Prabhupada said, drink whiskey and you will become a drunkard. You will, you know, chant and you will do more chanting. Natural path. It's a very natural path of Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. There was other question. Philip, yes. Philip from Australia.
Hare Krishna. So, yeah, you've talked about remembering the form and remembering the qualities and the pastimes. What if I'm more attracted to Gaura Lila than Krishna Lila? Is there a difference in my remembering Lord Chaitanya's mood, Lord Chaitanya's pastime, Lord Chaitanya's associates?
Krishna's. You're very fortunate if you are. It's very Gaura Lila has one. There's a lot of more mercy in Gaura Lila than in Krishna Lila. Therefore, usually the Vaishnavas, when they do this Smaranam process, start with Gaura Lila. They think, what does Gauranga do at this time of the day? And then what does Krishna do? Gaura Lila is to be engaged in. And I'm very happy about your question. It is said in this age of Kali, Lord Gauranga is the most merciful avatar, and we should take shelter at his lotus feet. It's very good. But you will only understand Gaura Lila if you also, you know, you've heard he is Radha and Krishna together. That's an almost inconceivable thing. And so you need to understand Radha and Krishna in order to understand you. In order to understand Gauranga, I would like to give you an example from human experience. If I want to understand someone, I must know what is going on in his heart, right? So you must understand, if you want to understand Gauranga, you must understand what is going on in his heart. And that is, you know, Radharani pining or longing for Krishna. So Prabodhananda Sarasvati expresses it so. If you enter the ocean of Gaura, you will automatically come out at the if you enter the pastimes of Gaura, you will come out in the ocean of Radharani's love for Krishna, Radha Krishna. So it is very good. Gaura Lila is very good, but it must be understood properly. And there's a very nice Gaura Bhakta in our movement who preaches very nicely, and all the devotees have learned a lot. He's deceased, unfortunately, but the recordings are available. His Holiness Go Govinda Maharaj, and some books are, a good number of books are available. And that enters a very nice understanding, helps a very nice understanding of Gauranga in the way we see things and Prabhupada sees things. It helps very much. There is no distinction, but that is all very inconceivable how it is no distinction. It requires some maturity to see that, but yes, there's no distinction. He says, yes, it's in the same book. Same book. Hare Krishna. Good, my dear devotees. I have a little bad feeling. I know that there are I've seen many more questions, but it's already past our allotted time. And I think it is good if we stop here so that we remain fresh for the rest of the presentations which we will observe. I thank you very much for your participation, and I wish you all the best in your application of this beautiful wisdom. All the best, and Hare Krishna.